Hi guys, good morning. Let's worship our Father together. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. Thank you, Lord. We just worship you this morning, Lord. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
He has done great things. He has done great things. Lord Jesus, we bless you and honor you. Let's lift our hands to him. We love you, Father. Glory to God, you are our life. You are our song for all eternity. Glory to God. Why don't you just bless the Lord in your prayer language? Give him some praise in the Holy Ghost. Proto shosukora bosi hede la bosi andala marabasai. Stende rebesi hede la boko rodo la bokose. We love you, Lord. Sonda rabasi hede la bosanda la marakati hede la bosa. Worship you. We worship you. Thank you for everything, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Go ahead and thank Jesus now for a moment for dying for you, for bearing your sins, bearing your judgment, bearing your sickness and your pain. Thank you, Jesus. Bearing our poverty and lack. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your holy redemptive work that you did on our behalf. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Just seems like we ought to sing a little bit more. Praise God. Bob, can we get that old standard, the hallelujah, the real worshipful hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just whatever key. Hallelujah. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means thanks be to God. Hallelujah. all praise.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Father, we love you today. Glory to God. We welcome you into this place. Father, thank you that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Thank you that you don't waste our time. We're asking for your help. Father, we acknowledge our entire dependence upon you. We ask you for utterance. We ask you to move by your Spirit in whatever way you desire. In the name of Jesus, give us all ears to hear, hearts to receive. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Glory to God. Why don't you go ahead and lift a hand and just thank him for ministry right now from the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for breaking the word of life to us. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for good things from the abundance of your house. In the precious name of Jesus, glory to God. We give you all praise in advance. And the church said amen. Amen, amen. Well, why don't you greet somebody? Shake their hand, hug their neck. Glory to God. We'll be seated in his presence. Miss Cindy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give the musicians a thank you. What do you say? Praise God. Glory to God. We appreciate them serving us with their life. Amen. Their time and their talent. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, say it with me. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. We're on the winning team. Isn't that right? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Praise God. I said we're on the winning team. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of a conqueror. God's never lost a battle. He's never been defeated in anything. Well, you say, well, didn't they kill Jesus? That was the plan. It was carried out and executed successfully on behalf of the human race. Total success. He bore our sins, bore our sickness, bore our poverty, glory to God. Made his Spirit able to come and dwell inside us, glory to God. He redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy, translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, glory to God. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You are somebody. Hallelujah. I mean, you better treat me with some respect. Hallelujah. I'm royalty up in here. Praise God. I'm more royalty than the children of the King of Saudi Arabia or the United Arab Emirates or whatever it may be. Glory to God. Amen. Well, it doesn't take much to outdo them anyway, does it? Saddam Hussein and his sons were pretty
pretty low down people. But anyway, somebody say, I'm on the winning team. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get back in the Word. The Lord has some rich things for us today. Can you take a little bit more talk on the subject of love? You know, whenever we get on a subject like this, this is the highest. Love is the highest. It's the highest life. It's the highest human behavior. And whenever we start talking about it and looking at the beauty of it and the demands of it and the habits of love, often we'll see, you know what? I'm not quite there yet. I've got some. Anybody still growing in the Lord besides me? Praise the Lord. So that shouldn't be a shock to us, should it? That there's something we're not living up to yet. Praise God. I'm not living up to everything, are you? I'm not perfect in faith, perfect in love, perfect in anything. You know, the Lord told me one day, He said, son, since you're not perfect any day, you need my mercy every day. I said, well, that would be right. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad His mercies are new every morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to John 13 today. Gospel of John 13. Praise the Lord. I'm glad the Lord points out things where I need to grow. If He didn't point them out, I wouldn't know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me just say before we read our scripture that in the future, if you need to use the restroom during healing class, this door right here, right on the other side of that door is a ladies' restroom and a men's restroom. And that's the way they want us to operate. Praise God. Everybody that heard that said amen?
Amen.
Amen. And if you have a cell phone, we would ask you to please turn that off. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. John's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And God is love, and Jesus was and is the express image of God, and so Jesus was love and is love. And He walked in perfect love. Oh, my goodness. Perfect love. He never violated any rule or standard of divine love. Even when people were lying on Him, mistreating Him, wanting to kill Him, He never allowed that to get in Him. Here's something interesting, and it's something that we all need to walk in, and that is when people are mistreating us, that we don't descend down to their level and treat them in a similar manner to the way they're treating us. Jesus never did that. People railed on Him, He railed not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. He walked in that kind of love. When somebody got aggravated at Him, He never let that get Him aggravated. Praise God. So He said for us to walk in that kind of love. That's the goal. That's the standard. That's the example. He said the new commandment I give is that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He didn't say people would know you're my disciples because you go to church. You know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you a car. Just being in church, that doesn't make you a Christian. Even if you go 7 days a week, that won't make you a Christian. It's the blood of Jesus, glory to God, that makes people a Christian. And asking Jesus to be their Lord, amen? And giving our life to Him, that's what makes us a Christian. I got saved, there wasn't a church involved. That is, I wasn't at a church service. I wasn't at a revival service. I wasn't listening to a preacher at the moment. Amen? There was no one else present, just me and God. Hallelujah. And I called out to Him and He heard me. Glory to God. Before I started going to church, before I started reading the Bible, before I had a prayer life, before I sang a praise song or gave an offering, glory to God, I was a believer, hallelujah. Glory to God. Those things don't make you a believer. If you're a believer, you'll do those things. Amen. Glory to God. So He said, by this love, by love. Now, He could have said a lot of things here. He could have said anything the Father told Him to say in all of human language. But He said, it's by love that people will know you're my disciples. Hallelujah. Not even faith. Not even prayerfulness. Glory to God. Out of everything He could have said, it's by love. Praise God. So that makes love pretty high priority, doesn't it? Look at, let's go back to Matthew. And we want to talk today as a subtitle about the second commandment. The second commandment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 34. Did I not say which chapter? Y'all didn't pick it up from the Holy Ghost? It's chapter 22. Hallelujah. Chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they, the Pharisees, were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer was just simply an expert in the old Mosaic law. One of them, which was an expert in Old Testament law, asked Him a question, tempting Him, see if He could answer it right. He said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the foremost, the top commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now the question has been answered, hadn't it? The guy asked him, what's the first commandment? The greatest one. Jesus answered him. And this just intrigues me. Jesus volunteered some further information. Yeah. He said, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. And then another intriguing, powerful statement in verse 40. Who's talking here? Jesus said, the creator of the worlds, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On the commandments to love God and love men hang all the law and the prophets. Now that King James language is a little bit unclear. Let me read that verse 40 in several other versions for you. The contemporary English says, all the law of Moses and the books of the prophets are based on these two commandments, to love God and love men. They're all based on that. Weymouth says it like this, the whole of the law and the prophets, I like this one, is summed up in these two commandments. Listen to the Living Bible. This is my favorite. Even though it's a paraphrase, I think it captures the essence of it more clearly than all the rest. The Living Bible says, all the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws, to love God and love men, and are fulfilled. In other words, the law and the prophets are fulfilled if you obey the first and second commandment. He said, keep only these, love God and love men, and you will find that you are obeying all the others. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, we could say it another way. The whole intention and the whole design of the Mosaic law that was given personally by God to Moses up there on the mountain, that law and everything that was revealed to the prophets in the Old Testament, David was a prophet, so this would include the Psalms. All the law and the prophets had one aim, to get God to love men, to get men to love God, and to get men to love each other. All the law and the prophets had that single aim, to get men to love God and love one another. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 7, back up to chapter 7, and let's see a verse there with the similar thought. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Would this be loving your neighbor as yourself? Yeah, this is a love directive right here. Whatever you want, however you want people to treat you, you treat them that way. If you want them to treat you with respect, you treat everybody with respect. If you don't want them laughing at you, don't laugh at them. If you don't want anybody to despise you, don't despise anyone else. Amen. We have control over that. Amen. Glory to God. So he said, if you follow these principles of love toward men, he said, this is the law and the prophets. You're fulfilling all the law and the prophets. And you know, we can only love God, love men like we're supposed to, if we're in relationship with God. It's His love that we're loving with. Amen? It's His love at work in our heart. And so if I'm going to love men like this, that I do to them, only what I would want done to me, that implies I'm already in relationship with the Father. I already love God. So we're back to loving God and loving men. It's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, to this passage in Mark and see something that was added that the other Gospels don't have. Praise God. Verse 28, one of the scribes... Did I tell you chapter 12? Okay, verse 28. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Verse 30. Verse 31, the second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now look at this last phrase. There is none other commandment greater than these. There is no other commandment greater than to love God and love people. Amen? The commandment to serve the Lord is not greater than this. The commandment to be prayerful is not greater than this. The commandment to get in the Word is not greater than this. There's no other commandment from the lips of Jesus more important than loving God and loving people. Hallelujah. Am I reading this right? Glory to God. Let's go back to Matthew 22. Should have told you to hold your place there. Praise God. What does this have to do with healing? The longer I go, the more convinced I am that far more of our physical problems are caused by spiritual considerations than we generally assume. The first cause of sickness was spiritual. The primary cause of sickness being in the world, the primary cause of sickness coming into existence was something spiritual. It was the sin of Adam and Eve. I suggest to you that the primary cure for disease that God intends is something spiritual. It's faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people don't have faith for healing, sickness continues and gets worse. But when we come to a place of faith, not just agreeing mentally or conceptually with the idea that Jesus bore our sicknesses, but real Bible faith, healing occurs. Every time, all the time, faith never fails. May I have an amen? Glory to God. So for us to walk in love, that is to walk above unforgiveness, to walk above envy, to walk above resentment and bitterness, to walk in a way that we're not holding a single thing against a living soul or a dead soul. We're not holding anything against anyone. Hallelujah. It's very healthful. These physical organisms were designed to live in love. Hallelujah. When they get into an atmosphere of strife, negative things happen in the body. When they get into an atmosphere of anger, negative things happen in the body. The immune system is suppressed. Headaches occur. Ulcers occur. Amen. But walking in this love, glory to God, is very healthful. Hallelujah. Very conducive to good physical health. Glory to God. It's interesting here in chapter 22. Let me point something out to you. Matthew 22. In verse 15, then went the Pharisees, took counsel how they might entangle him, and they sent out unto him their disciples, some Pharisees, with the Herodians, and asked him a trick question, trying to ensnare him again. Well, he answered them in such a way, verse 22, when they had heard these words, they marveled and left. I guess they were saying, well, we couldn't get him with that one. Hallelujah. Verse 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection, so they had a trick question for him. And he answered their question. Verse 33, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Hallelujah. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. They had a question. Let's see if he can answer this one. And he answered it. And notice, when he finished his answer, verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Pharisees ain't saying nothing. He answered them with such wisdom and grace, they were left speechless. And verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, or while they were still there, Jesus asked them. He asked them a question. Now, I submit to you that Jesus is just, he's the express image of the Father. He's keep him in character. He's walking in that highest level of love that we can comprehend. I submit to you that he's dealing with these people the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees with great grace. Great grace. He knew their motives were not good. He knew they were challenging him, you know. And yet, he gave them an intelligent, cogent, pertinent response to answer their question. Tempting him, what's the great commandment in the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And the second one is like it. And on these two hang all the law and all the prophets. And now they're not saying anything. And he said, let me ask you a question. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He said, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is the Lord David's son? Verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. I guess Jesus said, you know, let me just show them a little higher wisdom here, and I won't have to deal with these kind of questions anymore. Wasting my time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wondered for a long time why Jesus volunteered the second commandment. And I think I have an answer from God. I'm convinced. Praise the Lord. The Jews, the religious leaders especially, prided themselves on being God's people. Let's go to Luke 18. The Jews were known to be very hateful, very bigoted, prejudiced, biased against anyone who wasn't a Jew. They were not nice people. Jesus came to them and they received him not. They didn't love Jesus. Amen? So you know they just weren't right. They considered themselves great lovers of God, the godly ones, the holy ones. Hallelujah. They worshiped and honored and loved the Lord their God, they thought. But they were deceived. They were deceived. Their so-called devotion was often hypocritical. Amen. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. You're fully aware of this, but let's just look at it for just a moment. While they put themselves forth as being the religious leaders and the most spiritual people on the planet, at the same time, in reality, they were hypocritical. And they did not really love God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, if you really did love Him, you would love me. But since you don't love me, God's not your Father. He said in chapter 6 here, verse 2, therefore, when you do alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. He He said they were hypocrites. Verse 5, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And so Jesus said, since that's what they're after, to be seen, once they're seen, they got what they wanted, it's over for them. They weren't really praying. They were hypocrites. And then verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, when men notice that they're fasting, they have their reward. That's all their fasting is going to accomplish for them. So they were hypocrites. They claimed to love God and be devoted to God, and they were not. Amen. They treated people terrible. They didn't honor their parents. In Matthew chapter 15, the first few verses there, you can see where Jesus was talking to some of the religious leaders, and he said, you make the word of God void by your traditions. The word of God had said, Jesus told them, that we're to honor our parents, and part of that was to support that financially when our parents become aged and to take care of them. But he said, but you, by your tradition, have said that the money that I would use to take care of my parents, I'm giving it to the temple. So since I'm giving it to God, it's all right for me not to take care of my parents. And he said, your tradition has made void the word of God. They were hypocrites. They wanted to give that money in the temple so they could appear, you know, I'm a big giver. I'm a big giver. Look at Luke. Did you hold Luke? Let's go back to Luke if you didn't. Luke chapter 18. They viewed other people with contempt who weren't Jews or who weren't as spiritual as they thought they were. And you know, we need to watch that, you know. We're at one of the greatest ministries in the world, in my opinion. And we need to be careful that we don't think and look down our nose, you know, at those other people who aren't in the Word. Amen. We need to love them just like we love each other. Esteem them, respect them, and honor them. But these Pharisees, they viewed others with contempt. Look at Luke chapter 18. It's verse chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Those two don't go together. Righteousness and despising people. But this is where the Pharisees were. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Jesus said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican, a tax collector. They were hated by the Jews. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm better than they are. They're extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers. Like this publican over here. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said that man went home justified. The publican, not the Pharisee. To this man will I look, Isaiah said. We looked at it yesterday. To him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, humble before God. Hallelujah. They faulted Jesus for eating with publicans and sinners. They faulted him for allowing a woman that they thought was a sinner to wash his feet with her tears. They looked down on people. They despised people. They didn't want to have anything to do with anybody except people that were just like them. So here was the spiritual condition of the Pharisees and most of the Jewish nation at this time in reality. They thought they loved God, but they really didn't. And their love for people was sorely lacking. So when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? You know, this expert in the law, he knew what the right answer was. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, strength, and soul. They thought they had that together. They had it right. They were the lovers of God in the earth. They were the people of God. And so when he said that, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, this is the first and greatest commandment, I guess they kind of went, well, you're right on that one. And we've got that. We've got that together. We're loving God. We're the people that love God. And then Jesus said, and there's another one. The second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now imagine when he said that, they kind of went, love people too. My neighbor. And in one instance, somebody willing to justify himself said, well, but who's my neighbor? Amen. And Jesus went on to tell, your neighbor is every other human being. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Matthew. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. We all right this morning? Praise God. The second commandment. Hallelujah. So they thought they loved God, but they really didn't. And their love for people was sorely lacking. Really, they were not keeping either one of the commandments. They were keeping all kind of lesser commandments. They were tithing. They were fasting. They were going to synagogue. They were going to church, you know. But they weren't keeping either one of those two. Jesus said in Matthew 22:40, on these two commandments, how many commandments? On these two, both of them. Both of them are necessary. Both of them are necessary. Glory to God. God wants us to obey both of them. He was telling these Pharisees, on these two, you need to do number one, and you need to do the second commandment as well. Hallelujah. I believe this. You see what you think. Jesus volunteered that second commandment to show them that they weren't really fulfilling the first commandment like they thought they were. Without directly saying it, he showed them the second commandment to show them they weren't really doing the first commandment. Because obedience to the second commandment confirms and verifies compliance with the first. Hallelujah. In other words, my love for God is seen in how I treat people. All people, all the time, my love for God is seen in how I treat people. Glory to God. Our love for God. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God, like the Pharisees were, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Amen. We could say it another way. If we don't love our brother, we don't love God like we should. Verse 21, and from this commandment, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Hallelujah. These two commandments run throughout the New Testament. Let's go over to Matthew 25 and see something, and we'll close. Matthew 25. Is this all right this morning? It's good to be reminded of the really top priorities, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's so easy to, you know, get distracted and get involved with lesser things. They can be good things, but if they displace the greater things, then they're not so good. Amen? Jesus told the church in Ephesians, he said, you've left your first love. He complimented them on a lot of things. They were going to church. They were serving. They hated evil. Their doctrine was good. But he said, you left your first love. You let the top priority slip. And he called them back. Amen? Glory to God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, that's when He comes back to get us, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. Wow. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice, all nations are gathered before Jesus. He has separated them. He put the sheep on the right. He put the goats on the left. Two groups. And look at what he begins to talk about in complimenting these sheep on the right. Verse 35, I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so on that final day, when Jesus is judging the world, what he talks to the sheep about that are getting to go to heaven was the way they loved people. He's not talking to them about faith. He's not talking to them about service to the Lord in the church. He's talking to them about how they loved people. Hallelujah. This is Jesus at the last day. What he's talking about. He's talking about the most important things. Hallelujah. Love to God and love to people. Hallelujah. He pointed out their love for people. And that presumes and confirms love to God. The second commandment. Hallelujah. In verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. We could paraphrase and say, because you didn't love God and you didn't love people. I was hungry. That means a human being was hungry. Amen? You didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me something to drink. I was a stranger. You took me not in. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick, in prison, you visited me not. They'll answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee? Hungry or thirsty or stranger. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. So the second commandment is loving people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. How many want to come up in this? I know I want to come up in this. Praise God. You know, as we grow in the Lord, you find that you overcome things that used to trip you up, right? You find that things that used to make you angry, they don't make you angry like they used to. Or it should be happening this way. How many growing out of any hang-ups you used to have? Praise God. Hallelujah. You find that things that used to offend your pride just roll off you now like water off a duck's back. Like you didn't even hear it, you know. Maybe some of you struggle to forgive people. It should be that that becomes easier and easier as the years go by. I remember I was doing some door-to-door ministry with a team one time back in Louisiana, and we knocked on this door. I didn't know whose house it was, and it was a lady we knew. We used to go to church with her, and so I said, "Oh, hello," and we renewed acquaintance, and she invited us in, and we went in and sat down, and, how you been, what you been doing, how are your kids, that kind of thing. And then when we got to got finished with the small talk, she said, "Brother Jody, may I share something with you?" I said, "Oh, sure. She said, "I've been mad at you for 10 years. I said, "Wow." I said, "Well, whatever I did to make you mad, it wasn't intentional. I don't remember anything, but please forgive me." And she kind of hesitated at that. She kind of said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Well, please, I said, "What did I do?" And we were in church together, and I was helping seat people right like 2 or 3 minutes before the service, and people were coming in the back there, and I was in the middle aisle trying to make room. And I had asked her to move over so a couple could sit down. And I guess I didn't ask her with enough grace or something. Maybe I was short with her. I don't remember. I didn't have any kind of a check from the Holy Ghost. But she said ever since I asked her to move over, for 10 years she'd been mad at me and wasn't sure if she was ready to forgive me now. Hallelujah. But some people have a hard time forgiving, But it should be getting easier and easier for us. Glory to God. Is that right? Shouldn't it be getting easier? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Joyce, would you guys come back, please?
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's close our eyes and just look to the Lord. Why don't you lift your hands to Him? Hallelujah. Father, we love You. We bless You. We honor You. Glory to God. Father, we want whatever is priority with You to be priority with us. Hallelujah. If that's your heart, just go ahead and talk to Him about it right now. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank You, Father. We want Your priorities to be our priorities. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, we want to walk in the love of God. In a higher place. Oh, go ahead and ask Him for a higher place in love. A greater grace in love. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we want to be like Jesus who wept over people that were rejecting Him. We want to be like Jesus, Father, and weep for people that don't know the Lord and intercede for them, Father, and love them as You give us opportunity, as our paths cross with theirs. Glory to God. Father, help us to properly represent You to this dark world in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Help us, Father, not to be critical or angry at unbelievers, no matter what kind of sin they may be in, Father. But help us to show the love of God to them. in the name of Jesus. Why don't you go ahead and get an unsaved person? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody in another state. Just get them in your heart. Let's pray for them right now. In the precious name of the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we hold these up to you in Jesus' name. We're asking you, Father, to give them space and time to repent. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, keep them alive. Hallelujah. Keep them safe so that they can hear the gospel again. Father, we volunteer. We say, here am I, send me. If you want to use me, Father, to speak to them, we volunteer. Our answer is yes. And Father, we will love them. We will speak to them without condemnation, without criticism. Father, we will extend the word of life and hope to them in Jesus' name. Like someone did for us, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, we ask you for opportunities. We ask you, Father, to direct our steps and arrange circumstances to where we can speak to others for you in Jesus' name. Use us, Father, in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you that you're bringing us up in love. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and thank him by faith for new levels of love. Hallelujah. New levels of mercy and kindness, hallelujah, and friendliness, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for greater grace to forgive instantly, Father, instantly, before the offense takes place. We purpose to forgive, hallelujah. We forgive right now in Jesus' name, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In your precious name, Father, Lord Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Glory to God. Well, you guys are a blessing. Hallelujah. I don't care what they say about you. You're a blessing. Praise God. We'll consider ourselves dismissed. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Love lifted me up.